Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin Street Church of Christ. Today's lesson is entitled, What Lies Ahead? What Lies Ahead? It's a question that most people have been seeming to contemplate lately. So we want to try and entertain that on this morning, if it's God's will. We want to open up your hearts and your minds. And what I'd like you to do before we get into the lesson is open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 11. We're going to be reading some scriptures from John chapter 11 in the body of this lesson. These are the words from an old Charlie Brown cartoon. I was reading an old Charlie Brown cartoon and I thought it was pretty real, especially for this time. You see, Charlie to me is an eternal underdog, and he's always been an eternal optimist as well. Charlie Brown was one that I've seen that never grew weary in his effort to persevere. The quote from this cartoon reads as follows. Are you weary from life? Eternity is longer. Finish the race. Neither one of us realized that for our world, for our community, or even for our family, that this present crisis ended most of our assumptions about the shape of our future. A progressive disease, this is, killing many and disabling even more, has burst onto the scene and altered our whole lifestyle. Life as we know it has changed. And the coronavirus has threatened the traditional norms when it comes to our jobs, when it comes to church, when it comes to the economy, travel, personal interactions, you name it. Our whole lifestyle has been altered. It's been changed. Our confidence are threatened and our fears are heightened just concerning life itself. James, to the encouragement of the 12 tribes scattered abroad, he writes with spiritual optimism in the book of James, chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. I want to read to you from the Amplified version because I want it to come to life for you. I want you to realize what James is saying. You've heard this over and over, but the Amplified version to me just brings it to life. I want you to listen to what James said to the Jews that were scattered abroad. He says, come now and pay attention to this. You who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and carry on our business and make a profit. Yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen in your life tomorrow. Isn't that incredible? You don't know the least thing about what might happen in your life tomorrow. What is secure in your life? You are merely a vapor, like a puff of smoke or a wisp of steam from a cooking pot that's visible for a little while and then vanishes into thin air. James says, I know you're scattered. And I know you've got your outlook on the future, but you don't know anything about what is going to happen in your life tomorrow. You don't know anything about what lies ahead, but you think you got it all figured out. You're merely a vapor, like a puff of smoke or a wisp of steam from a cooking pot that's visible for a little while and then vanishes into thin air. We're in a crisis, church. And such a crisis as this, one of pandemic proportions, forces us to admit that our expectations for an untroubled future are merely illusions. Our lives, our plans, our sense of control over events, as James says, these are myths of insecurities. When trouble comes, we first feel lost without our future. We feel so lost as to what lies ahead of us. We're just a lost people when trouble comes in our lives. Here's what I wish. I wish there was someone to tell us just what was best to do. I do. It's too bad to have one's life plans all upset. That's not a good thing. And have it upset all of a sudden, in a twinkling of an eye, in a moment, in a flash, it leaves us in a dilemma. All of us are perplexed as to what to do. I wish there was someone to tell us just what was best to do. What a help it is to just look into the scriptures and to look and find that believers before us have faced the same things. And the question becomes, where did they find their strength to go on? Where did they find the strength to forge on to what lies ahead of them? I want to read for you the book of John, chapter 11, so that we can actually see in our lives the things that lies ahead of us. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. The scripture says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent him to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick.' When Jesus heard that, he said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby.'" Verse number 6. "When he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Verses 14 and 15. "Then said Jesus unto them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him.'" Verses 18 through 33. "Now Bethany was near unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary still sat in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, 'Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee.' Jesus said unto her, 'Thy brother shall rise again.' Martha said unto him, 'I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' Jesus said unto her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?' She said unto him, 'Yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world.' And when she had said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, 'The master is come and calls for thee.' As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, 'She goes into the grave to weep there.' Then when Mary was come to where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, 'Lord, if thou had been here, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews was also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." Verse 35 says, Jesus wept. Verses 38 through 40. "Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, comes to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, 'Take ye away the stone.' Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, 'Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead 4 days.' Jesus said unto her, 'Said I not unto thee that if thou would believe, that thou should see the glory of God?'" Jesus said to his disciples plainly in verse number 14, "Lazarus is dead." He's dead. In the midst of all of this crisis, Martha and Mary face this sudden blow. A short illness, and in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, their loved one was gone. Their future plans were gone. Their lifestyle was threatened, and it was very uncertain. Where did they find the strength to go on? Where did they find the strength as they faced the dilemma of what lies ahead? What were their sources of support in this crisis? Well, I see in their story, as in our story, they find strength to keep their future in view. Strength that we can also use today as we contemplate the uncertainty in our lives of what lies ahead. We find strength in our love for our family and their love for us. strength in our close friends as well. We find strength in the community of God's people, and we find strength in the hope of the resurrection. When we look at the relationship of family and close friends, they really become our strength in times of crises. Mary and Martha had one another, but they also had Jesus as well. And Jesus was so much a part of that family love that when something terrible was happening, they knew he would want to be there. They wanted and needed his love and support. They knew he could be trusted to listen to their honest feelings and even without reproach. Can you imagine someone saying to you, if you had been here, my brother would not have died? He listened with love and without reproach. And they knew that he would weep with them. And they knew that he would comfort them. And when he came, they knew he wanted to be alone with each one of them. We see Martha. She went out to meet him. And then he called Mary by her name. And she went forth as well to meet the Christ. In our worst hours, we can also trust Jesus to come to us and share our grief, even if at first we're too overcome to even go to Jesus. He's going to come to us. Just know that God will come to us. He will come to us in spirit and as Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior. He will come to us as our deliverer. I need that fellowship and visitation from God. I don't know about you, but in a crisis or outside of a crisis, happy or sad, I need that fellowship and visitation from God in my life. Because God is one that sends my family and close friends to be my strength in time of crisis. And he's there as well. The community of God's people became the strength of Mary and Martha. You see, when Jesus arrived in Bethany, he found Mary and Martha surrounded by people who shared like faith in God and had come to offer what they can comfort them with. They offered what they could. For Mary and Martha, as for our family, many people were there. They were ready to prepare food or to engage in domestic duties to encourage them spiritually, to lift them up, to offer fellowship, to sit in silence with them, and to also go with them when it was time to cry. Listen to me. I need the fellowship of God. I need the fellowship with all my Christian family, with the community of God's people. I need that fellowship. And I'm happy to come together each week with my brothers and sisters in Christ to share my life with them and their lives with me. And I want you to know today, this very day, no matter what lies ahead, together we will share our lives and our fellowship with each other and the true and living God. We share our lives together, no matter what lies ahead, no matter what our futures are going to bring us. We have fellowship with one another and fellowship with the true and living God, who is the great I Am. Come and go what may, we need that fellowship. And the community of God's people, the church, becomes our strength at that time. The hope of the resurrection became the strength for Mary and Martha. Their faith was incredible. And as the shock wears off, and we wonder about a future we've never, ever anticipated, what gives us the capacity and the drive to go forward? What compels us to just move on? What renews our commitment to one another and to God year after trying year? Sometimes it's just hard. Sometimes it's not as bright as other days, and sometimes it's just plain dark. We can't even lift our heads to even look for a future. Lift our heads to even look for what lies ahead. What makes us feel that our lives move forward to that achievable spiritual goal? Even though our former plans and dreams have been altered, and for many, They're going to move forward looking for that spiritual achievable goal. And for many, their futures have been just shattered. Shattered. We've lost a few. We've lost a many. What about our hope for the future as the shock wears off? Are you weary from life? Eternity is longer. Finish the race. Listen to me. Are you weary from life itself? Eternity is longer. And we must finish the race. We got to finish it. Just like Charlie Brown, even though we're weary at times, I am going to finish the race. We've got to tell ourselves that even though we're weary and we're tired, this coronavirus doesn't seem to want to just disappear. And it might not go anywhere for a while now. And we are so weary. But we have to finish the race. And I am assured that eternity is longer than this present day uncertainty that we're going through. Eternity is longer. And I'm assured, because just like Martha and Mary did, I can hear Jesus say these words, I am the resurrection and the life. You want to know what lies ahead? The great I am, who says that I am the resurrection and the life. And as I hear this reality coming from the mouth of Jesus, I reassess my views as to what really lies ahead for me. Our hope is in Christ. Our future is in Christ. It lies exclusively in the hands of God. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. It's not me that lives anymore, but it's Christ that lives in me. I look ahead to the future because it's Christ who is our hope. He lives in me. God has given us this Jesus. And he's the one who comes into this world. And he has begun a new creation. He's given us a resurrection of all things to a brand new life. A life free from assumptions of what lies ahead. A life steeped in the faith of God and resting in the assurance of a future with God. This is not the first time that God's people have been scattered. It's not the first time that our faith in God will deliver us from this present day uncertainty. We're going to be delivered, church. Delivered. And just in case you might not remember, we see our deliverance at Calvary. A once scattered people are today, even in the face of social distancing, all of us are seated together as a community of God's people at supper time. Isn't that wonderful? We feel with the power of love and acceptance coming from the Father, because a child of God reaches out to his brothers and sisters in Christian communion and fellowship. And we share in their lives through this common bond. Our lives, even though we are scattered, has become interwoven. And there's no room around the table for hostility. There's no room around the table for lukewarmness. There's no room around the table for selfishness. There's no room around the table for lovelessness. No room for pride, vanity, and greed. There's no room around the table for ill will. No room for pessimism and doubt. Our lives are brought together by Christ. We are family and we are one. And you can look forward to that. No matter what lies ahead, we are family. And this union is made possible only by the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This weekly supper, oh, it brings us together. This weekly supper, the purpose of it binds us together. The love and the action It sustains us in our weaknesses. And it sustains us presently in this uncertainty in our lives right now. You might not look to know what lies ahead in your life. But a lot of people do. A lot of people have plans for this and for that. And they've got it all figured out. James says, you don't know nothing about what's going to happen tomorrow. You just don't know. So these precious moments of intimate fellowship with God and with our Christian family must not be marred by the cares of this world. We can't let it overcome us. We can't let it overtake us. For it is in this divine fellowship that we are enabled to reach up to God and reach out to one another in Christian love and comfort. It's through this divine fellowship that solidifies our future. And we know that we have assurance of what lies ahead in our lives. You're weary from life? Eternity is longer. Let's finish the race. Oh, I love what the scripture says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. Listen to me. Let it sink in for a second. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. We might not know what's certain, but God does. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went. He didn't know what lies ahead. The Bible says, by faith, God called him, and he went out not knowing what lies ahead because he knew who God was. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Here we go. For he was waiting expectantly and confidently, looking forward to a city which has foundations, an eternal heavenly city whose maker and builder, whose architect is God. That's what lies ahead for me. That's what lies ahead for you. You might want to doubt it. You see, when Satan comes in the picture, he puts a little doubt in there in our minds and our hearts. But God says, I am the resurrection and the life. I make all things new. There's nothing new under the sun, church. Mary and Martha found themselves in a crisis. Their brother had died. Their whole world was shattered. What was it for them that lied ahead? The same Jesus Christ that lies ahead for you and for me. But we get weary sometimes. That's okay. Eternity is longer. Finish the race. Let's finish this race. God calls us to finish the race by hearing his word, by having faith in Jesus Christ as God's son. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Ephesians 2:8. Romans 10:17, we need to hear God's word. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. 1 John 5:10 through 11 says this. He that believeth on the Son of God had the witness in himself. He that believeth not God had made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. To repent of our sins. In Matthew 9, verse 13, Jesus says, but you need to go and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We need repentance. We need delivery. We need resurrection. We need it. We need to repent of our sins. We need to confess Christ. 1 John 4, 2 through 3. Hereby know ye that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is the Christ, come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. Let's confess Christ, for he has come and has made all things new. Let's be baptized in Christ for the remission of our sins. For he that is dead is free from sin. Romans chapter 6. Now we be dead with Christ. We believe that we also will live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead died no more. Death had no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive through Jesus Christ our Lord. For ye all children of God, Galatians 3. By faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So I ask you today, are you weary from life? You feel like you just can't finish the race? Eternity is longer. And that's what God is calling us to. He's calling us to eternity. And this is our invitation from God, that you might receive his invitation and obey his word and be baptized in Christ for the remission of your sins. If we can help you, why don't you come so we stand and sing invitation song. We're going to transition now into the Lord's Supper, the communion. Christian communion, the Lord's Supper, it ties a child of God firmly into the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a sacrifice that was given freely for our sins, enabling us to enjoy life on the highest plane and to receive inner strength and assurance of the lasting relationship of a Christ who was resurrected from the dead. And this abundant life generates life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it affirms a living faith in us that Jesus Christ is coming back to claim those that are his own. And this love from Christ, this love from God, this gift should compel me to examine and correct any problem in my life, to compel me to correct any sin in my life, and either with God or with my family member as well. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 29, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of that bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Participating in the Christian communion enables us as children of God to sit at that table in fellowship with God and with one another. And this is what God calls us to do as we remember. Let us pray. O most gracious and wonderful Father, the God of heaven and earth, our creator, our sustainer, our deliverer, we're grateful for the sacrifice of your darling son, Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross. How that he knew full well that he was coming to die for our sins, and that the world knew not God, and that he came and sacrificed his life that we might know you, God, and be able to approach you as well. And we remember his death. We remember his blood that was shed on the cross and the water that poured from his side. We remember the reproach that was brought upon him, Father, and the beatings and the mockery. And we ask that we might open up our hearts and minds and pray to you, Father, that our hearts might be cleansed, that we might be in a position to take this in a manner that's pleasing, acceptable in your sight, and certainly in a manner that will not render us helpless on that great and last day. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the fellowship. We thank you for the church. These are all blessings we ask in his name. Amen.